still be my vision, O ruler of all. That last line. Still be my vision, O ruler of all. And Lord, we pray for an obvious and direct and clear vision from you. A clear vision for this whole church, Lord. What do you want us to be doing here in Murphy's? What do you want our congregation to be doing to support your kingdom? And a vision for our own personal lives. How do we take care of ourselves, our jobs, our family, our loved ones? Help us see that vision and just execute it for you. We love you so much, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, Kevin has a message for us about Mother's Day.
Well, happy Mother's Day. And this is a sermon on mothers, as you can guess. Okay, so according to the Oxford Dictionary, a mother is a woman who has born a child. Really? That's it? To be a mother? No, right? Nope. To be a mother means you have to procreate? No. To be a mother means you have to raise your children and do it right. Okay, so what does make a great mother? A mother that matters. What makes a mother that matters? A mother that serves is a mother that matters. Clearly, when I think back about my mom, her responsibility didn't stop with giving birth. She played a very active role in our lives. She worked for my dad, dispatching. He had started an ambulance company, and she was a dispatcher. She raised four boys at the same time, no easy task. And she just was always there for us. I have so many good memories of my parents, and in particular my mom. Okay, so we were always up to something as kids. You could ask my brother Steve, we were always getting into trouble. And most mothers would probably be stressed. I know my wife would be stressed to no end if my kids did what we did. But not my mom. She took everything in stride. Some encounters, though, included us kids getting pretty hurt. My younger brother almost cut off his finger climbing through the window. I was about 7 years old, I think, and where we lived, there was a steep hill that they were taking down to turn it into a freeway. So they were just removing the hill. And on weekends, me and my friend would go ride our bikes down that hill. One time, I got going way too fast, ended up crashing and knocked myself out. And so that's just another day in our lives. So my brother Gray, my youngest brother, he's the one who almost cut his finger off. He decided he was going to raise snakes, pythons, and boa constrictors. He also was into fish, too. Anyway, one day my mom was warming up the oven, preheating the oven, and after a few minutes preheating, she thought, I better make sure no pans or anything in the oven. She opened it up, and one of his snakes had climbed up in the oven. Steve was saying, yeah, just let it cook and we'll have snake for dinner. But she just called my brother Greg to come get her his snake. It didn't bother her at all. She took everything in stride. Most things, almost everything. She had great self-control and was never knocked off course by the challenges in our family. She was always doing for the family. When we were sick, she was definitely a humble servant. To show her love, she took care of us. She would stay up till whatever time of night was necessary to make sure we were okay. She was just always there. Okay, she was definitely a humble servant. And that describes, what I want to talk about, what a virtuous woman is that many strive to be. A virtuous woman is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting for a woman who fears the Lord. It is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her work bring her praise at the city gate. That's Proverbs 31, 25 through 31. It may be that this list doesn't fit just one person, but is a composite of several women. The one person that can think of that would fit this description is, everybody, Jesus's mother. She had a true love for the faith for God. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Mothers with a nurturing heart are mothers that matter. And so we talked about mothers that matter. At least I mentioned that. That's what we're going to talk about. Most mothers possess a nurturing spirit and love towards their family. Mothers have a sacrificial love for their children, much like God's sacrificial love for us. If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's Luke 11, 13. Godly mothers are many things to their children. You agree, mothers? You're a cook, chauffeur, counselor, maid, nurse, teacher, etc. I mean, you wear many hats. They teach with wisdom and how to be strong in the face of difficult times. They teach to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. That's Proverbs 1, 7 through 9. Now, I'm starting the sermon with talking about three mothers in my life. The next one is my daughter, Jessica. Her oldest, she has three boys, and she calls them her feral children because they'll run around outside naked all the time. They are always just, and they're not naked, they're at least barefoot. And they're boys. They like playing in the mud. They like doing all the things you expect little boys to do and not just, you know, play with video games. Our oldest boy, he's 8 years old. Very serious, and tries very hard in everything he does. And right now he's on a baseball team. And right now it's actually machine pitch. The times that we remember to go watch him, and watched him several times, he has hit the ball every time he gets on base. But one game, he struck out twice in a row. Now for him, that was devastating. He wants to get on base. That meant a lot to him. And I watched my daughter, and I've always seen her on many occasions. She will counsel them. She comforted him. Let him know that it's okay and that things will be better, and to keep the chin up. So she's always very good with her kids that way. She has a love for God and is doing her best to raise her three boys with love and obedience to God. God does the same for those who trust in him. This is an example that once again illustrates God's love for us. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. That's Isaiah 66, 13. Okay, mothers with an unwavering faith in Jesus are mothers that matter. So all you mothers in here, There you're going to find there are a lot of examples in here of how you matter, mothers matter, straight up. In my bachelor's day, though, I wasn't a regular churchgoer. And when I did go, it was with whatever girl I happened to be dating that time. So I went to several different churches over the years. This one Christmas, though, I met Leah. And we started dating, and about a month later or so, I started attending her church. Actually, I should say, a month later from when I met her, not when we started dating. Because the difference was, I asked her to marry me 3 weeks after our first date. And she's laughing. And then we're coming up on our 40th anniversary this month. No, sorry, next month. And 40 years. Anyway, her unwavering faith in Jesus has always been a strong influence in our marriage. God used her to influence me in a godly way. Leah exposed our kids to Christian activities. She worked really hard at that, too. There was this one group called Summer Funner, and they put on the best Christian plays. Well, who do you think did all the sex? Not me. Leah. Yeah, absolutely. She's an artist, and she worked very hard to support whatever they were doing. But Leah's faith lives in Jessica, and Jessica's faith in Boyd. And matter of fact, about probably about a month ago, he was baptized. That was one of the Sundays that I missed to go see his baptism. And he was baptized with the adults, the only child up there. And his mother didn't ask him, do you want to be baptized? He told her he wanted to be baptized. And so her faith is going to live in him. Now that's an example of I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and then in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. That is 2 Timothy 1:5. So, who has blessed you by the sharing of their faith? I'm sure everybody has a story about that. Okay, so anyway, that's all being a mother that matters. Now, next, we're going to look at two God-fearing women in the Bible and see that they matter very much. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Hannah from 1 Samuel. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, and some say about the age of 14. It wasn't uncommon. I looked it up on the internet, the average age Jewish woman got married back in that time. And it varied. But they said primarily somewhere in the middle of their teens. And so they're saying 14. Even if it was like 16 or 17, that's still, by our standards, pretty young. Now imagine, so Mary was betrothed to Joseph. When she finds herself in the presence of Gabriel, the angel, he tells her that she would have a child and her son would be the Messiah. Imagine a 14-year-old told this. What could be her state of mind at that point? The angel tells Mary she was highly favored by God. She must have been a devout follower, trusting and obeying the Lord. Mary submits to God's plan, and in spite of the troubles that will come, she is willing to be his servant. This shows she is a woman of much strength. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." That's Luke chapter 1, verse 30-33. But Mary, still perplexed, says to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the child will be called the Son of God. The Holy Child will be called the Son of God." And that, what verse? Okay, that's Luke 30, chapter 1, 34, 35. At this point, we see Mary's very courageous. Don't know, but she must have sensed the troubles that will follow. She's going to have to tell Joseph. How will he take it? But she says, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may be done to me according to the word, according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So these thoughts might have been going through her mind, but what did she do? She submitted to God. That is a mother that matters. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Because, you know, back then, women that got pregnant, especially in her situation, what did they do to them? Louder? Stone them. Okay, yes. "But when she had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." "An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" That's Matthew 1:19-21. And what Joseph does as he's told in his dream. So after giving birth to Jesus in a stable in Bethlehem, God tells them they have to leave. Herod the king wants to do baby Jesus harm. From Bethlehem, they flee to Egypt. She endures through all the trials of having a baby that Herod wants to kill. That has to be a lot of stress, but she endures it all. I was reading that Mary was the only person, this is interesting, Mary was the only person to know Jesus from birth to his death on the cross. So Proverbs 31:25 really does describe Mary, doesn't it? She's strong faith in God. She has strong faith in God. She wants to do God's will. She trusts in God. May have suffered ridicule from others for her faith, but never quit. Had faith in Jesus as the Christ. She sacrificed for her son, and God chose Mary to be his son's mother. Yeah, she matters, and her decisions have influenced the world since then. Recall the wedding at Cana. It was Mary's prompting that Jesus turned the water to wine. So we know that she had some influence over him. And Jesus had a strong love for his mother, while on the cross he made sure his mother was taken care of by John. So she was honored by his love too. Next, we're going to look at Hannah. What made Hannah a great mother? What can we learn about godly motherhood from her? Hannah is committed to God and prayer. And by the way, this is something I read from a pastor named Craig Smith. And my brother was telling me he was a pastor's pastor. So even in Hannah's deepest anguish, she was committed to God and prayer. Her heartfelt pain and shame was that she had no children. On top of this, she had to endure the daily taunting of mocking her barrenness, particularly when she went to the house of the Lord each year. Now, remember, she God closed her womb. She hasn't been able to have kids. The mocking continued even as she arrived at the temple to pray, as Eli the priest accused her of being drunk. And the reason he accused her was because she wasn't speaking out loud, but her lips were making the motions. She was, you know, quietly praying. Nevertheless, she continued to pray earnestly, humbly trusting and persevering in God. God heard Hannah with a humble and contrite heart. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation." That's 1 Samuel chapter 2. The supreme source of Hannah's joy is not in the child, but in God that answered her prayers. Hannah exemplifies the teaching of Jesus. She was willing to lose her life for the sake of God. She was willing to lay down her life for her son. In a most tangible way, she was willing to give up everything to have a child, but in accordance with God's will. Most mothers can relate to this quote. "Before you were born, I loved you. Before you were here an hour, I would die for you." This is the fierce love of a mother. David Lloyd George is remembered as one of the greatest prime ministers of Great Britain, yet his past is little known. When he was an infant in northern England, his mother got caught in a blinding blizzard. Lost and freezing, she huddled beneath a tree for a modicum of shelter, removing her coat and wrapping it around the young David. The next day, she was found dead, but the child was still alive. A mother that sacrificed. Hannah committed her first child to the Lord. Hannah understood that God had a plan in Samuel, and she trusted that God knew best for her child. She submitted to God's will, leaving Samuel, her firstborn, after many years of trying. That had to be hard. But she promised God that she would commit her child to him if he gave her one. He answered that prayer. He gave her the child, and she kept her word and gave him to God by giving him to Eli. Hannah loved and was loved by her husband. The relationship between love of husband and love of child is not mutually exclusive. Hannah demonstrates this because she loved both Samuel and Elkanah equally. Elkanah knew it would be difficult for Hannah to give up Samuel, but had faith, as he said, "The Lord will help you do what you promised." That's 1 Samuel 1:23. Keep in mind, it was difficult for to give up Samuel as well. Samuel was Elkanah's firstborn male. But he honored his wife and her honor to God. Any mother who is committed to prayer has an unwavering love for Jesus and his Father, has sacrificial love for her family, commits her children to the Lord, loves and is loved by her husband, is a mother that matters. Mothers also matter because they bless our lives. As children become adults, raised in families, etc., how does it look to be their mother? Okay, so as your children get older, your roles with your children usually change, don't they? They go from you watching and caring, y'all's watching care, but you know, you instruct them. You teach them what they need to know. You help form their personalities, really. I always say that you spend the first couple of years programming your children, and then you watch. So, the time for reproving and correcting is coming to an end. It's time to bless your children and encourage them as they face the trials of motherhood. Mothers can bless their children with words of encouragement. Give them a brief phone call now and then. Write a short email. Let them know how much you love them. Be interested in your children and grandchildren. Take them out to lunch or even just provide a small social event. But most important, pray for them. A mother's interest in her children is more important to them, to the children, than they'll admit. They might act like, oh, mom, I don't, you know, need that or whatever, but they do. These actions will bless your children and their children. Why? Because mothers matter. The end. Father, thank you so much for the mothers here, and just thank you so much for what they've done, because of their actions, their children go out and have faith and behave in a way that would honor you, Lord. And I just ask that as our children do get older, that we do continue to pray for them, watch over them, but just be there. Be there if they want to just vent. And Father, I just ask that the mothers here just know how much they matter. And as I was reading Proverbs and looking at all the things that make a mother, and realized that, okay, I don't know. I don't know how many of those things an individual can do, but if they just do one, they're a mother that matters. And so I ask that you just watch over the mothers, watch over our mothers in the church, and just bless them, and may your will be done, in the name of Jesus.
So let's stand, and I've got a closing song that I think wraps up what Kevin was talking about. Try that one again. Seek to worship him and pray to him with purpose. It's in Jesus' name we pray.